God's grace and peace be with you. The end is near. It is near. Oh, not the end of the world, the end of the liturgical year. It's almost over. Next Sunday is the last Sunday in our liturgical calendar. The end of the liturgical year is near, and that's why we're getting all of this apocalyptic in our lessons. It's the end of the liturgical year. These lessons have been coming to us for 2,000 years, and we're still asking the question, when is it all going to come crashing down? I can remember when I was a kid, my grandma Vertrees, I remember hearing her every now and then say, I'm just glad I won't be around to see it. Anybody hear that from your grandmas ever? Yeah, I'm just glad I won't be around. And I used to think, how can you say that? That's so horrible. Why would you not want to be here? That's terrible. Now I get it. There are times when I think, how much worse can it get? What's going to actually happen with climate change? What is actually going to happen with the increasing incivility and polarization? Are we headed towards civil war? Maybe if I'm lucky, I won't be around to see it. You know, I understand my grandma now. But then I come back to these lessons and I realize people have been saying, I'm just glad I won't be around to see it for 2,000 years, if not more, because it's always been pretty bad. It has always looked like everything good is crashing down. It has always looked like it can't get much worse than this before everything is destroyed. It has always looked like this. And we keep wondering, when is it going to get better? And it keeps feeling like it's only getting worse. The end of everything is near, but not yet. So do we give up? Do we stop waiting? The point, of course, of apocalyptic literature is to not make you afraid that everything is going to end, but actually this is written for people who are struggling so mightily under the forces of this world that they are praying that things as they are will come to an end so that they can finally live. Apocalyptic literature is written for the folks who are not the winners in the world. It's a message not of doom, but of hope. And that sometimes can be hard for us to remember, that this is a word of hope. Jesus talks about the temple coming crashing down. Maybe that doesn't sound like a word of hope. Because, you know, I mean, we know the temple is destroyed in the insurrection against Rome. And, beloved, we need to understand that Jesus is not predicting the end of the temple because the temple is something bad. Jesus taught in the temple. He went to the temple with his parents. He was blessed in the temple. And Simeon and Anna praised God in the temple for the promise that had come. The temple is not a sign of something that is wrong or bad. The temple is a source of God's message and word and hope and identity for people. It is not a bad thing. That's not why Jesus predicts that it's all going to come crashing down. He predicts that because it's true. Every single thing that humans build is going to come crashing down someday for some reason. Everything. Hey, it's Commitment Sunday. Would you contribute a little bit extra so we can keep this building here going? I mean, has the tension of that message struck any of you yet? Because here we are on Commitment Sunday asking you, those of you who are members, those of you who are not members, just know that we're glad you're here and you don't have to do anything. But those of us who are members, we are praying for a little extra to help us pay our mortgage and keep this building. So really, beloved, if everything is coming to an end, what is the point? I mean, what's the point? Well, I'll tell you what the point is. The point of us asking for your commitments this day is not to sustain these stones, but so that we can testify. Jesus promises us that we shall have an opportunity to testify. Now, do you think there is any less need in the world for testimony? It only gets more We need to testify, and Jesus needs us to testify. And maybe that fills your soul with more terror than thinking about the end of the world. What do you mean I have to testify? Like, do I have to stand on the street corner and hold up my Bible and tell people what they should believe? No, that's not what we're talking about. But we are here to testify. And our prayer that you will commit is not for the sake of the stones, even though they are beautiful and they are dedicated to God and they do bring us joy and hope as we gather in this space to worship and pray and hold each other up through the tough days. That's not why we're asking you to give. We are asking you to give so that we can go on being a place that testifies. And the world needs our testimony. Now, some of you have heard a little bit about some of this message, but I've been really grateful for some of the conversations we've been having in the council about what is it we're going to testify to. What is going to be our ministry and our mission as we move forward in this place? And we know that the food pantry is going to be moving out in about a year or so. We know that the financial support they give us that helps us sustain this building is going to come to an end. And so we have to find other means of sustaining this building so that we can keep testifying. Part of that's going to be looking at what other ministry partners might be coming in to us to join with us. And some of that's, well, we're asking for it to come from you. And what do we want to testify to? The thing that keeps coming to us keeps coming back. And I don't know about you, but there's something in my gut that just tells me this is where Jesus is calling us, is to work with people in our community who sometimes feel isolated and vulnerable and alone. Because one of the things we know of in our community is that we have an aging population and an increasing number of people who are living alone in their homes or apartments who may not have family nearby. And not all of them are going to go into assisted living when that need arises for them, because there are physically not enough places for all of us to move into as we age. And so a lot of us are going to be living in our homes, perhaps by ourselves or perhaps with a partner who's also older, and our needs change, and it feels like nobody sees us. We can testify. What we've talked about happening here at Grace is being a place that supports and helps people age in place well. Age in place, be able to stay in their homes because either they can't afford assisted living or there's just simply no place left to go. To be able to stay in their homes safely, to do yoga and exercise classes for seniors, to provide fellowship and also strengthen the balancing muscles, to reduce the risk. Provide meal support, cooking classes, sending people home with meals that they can put in their fridge and eat during the week so they've got a healthy meal even if they don't feel like getting up and cooking something for it. Having meals here on site, doing music together, doing intergenerational activities with the kids at the high school next door, perhaps providing support specifically for LGBTQ seniors who really feel like nobody sees them. Or for kids at the high school whose own grandparents can't quite understand who they really are. There are a lot of ways in which we can be here for people that are in need. Now, what does that have to do with the gospel? Well, beloved, the reality is that all of us at times in our lives have felt like nobody really sees us. Nobody really sees what's going on. And that dynamic can happen increasingly for us as we age, especially if we don't already enjoy a community of faith that gathers around us. And what is the most important message we need to know? I think it is this, beloved. God sees you. God sees you. That's not a threat. That's not a God knows what you did, but it is a, no, God sees you. God sees you so well, God actually knows why you did what you did and understands and loves you. God sees you. God sees the stiff knees and the confusion that sometimes we experience when we're overstressed and distracted by too many things. God sees the worry that we carry in our hearts. God sees our frustration with the way the world is going and our inability to make it better on our own. God sees you. Your joy and your hope and your loneliness and your pain and your fear and encouragement, God sees you. There are a lot of people in our community who wonder if anybody sees them anymore. But the message of the gospel is that God sees you. So maybe Jesus is calling us to testify by telling our neighbors, God sees you. God sees you. God knows who you are and who you have been and what you need and what you have to offer. God sees you. And the reason they will know that that is true is because we will see you. We see you. And that's how you know God sees you. That is how we testify. We testify to this incredible, mighty, omnipotent God who created multiple universes for all we know and who is so vast. How can God possibly know what it's like for me? But we are here to say, God sees you and God loves you. We are here to testify. We're here to testify to what we have already known, what we have already learned. That's why we're asking you to give. Because we believe in this testimony. And we know that there are billions of people in the world who need to hear it. And nobody can answer every need out there. But we know what we can do here. And we know there is a community that can use our support because our world and our culture and our society has changed. And there are people who have gotten dropped out and feel left out and feel unseen. Not everybody, but some. And this isn't about pity. Nobody needs to be pitied, beloved. But everybody needs to be seen. So God sees you. God sees you. God sees you. And everything around us is going to change. And nations will rise and nations will fall. And buildings will go up and buildings will come down. And this body will grow strong and this body will grow weak. People will be born and people will die. The thing that will not change is that God sees you and God holds you forever. Let's testify. Thanks be to God.